This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good Wednesday evening to you for October 24th, 2012. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter. Hey, Vicki.
Hey, Doug. Good evening, everybody. I'm looking forward to tonight's show, as always. It's always a good topic. I love it.
Always. Especially because we pick them. And tonight,
that's right.
And tonight, as was true for last week, you picked tonight's topic. We're going to be talking about critical thinking skills, learning to think for yourself. We're going to talk about what critical thinking is, what it's not. We'll talk about deductive and inductive reasoning and some different things of that nature. It's going to actually be a very interesting topic, and it's especially, well, it's applicable to everybody. But if you are involved in metaphysics, paranormal research, it's especially applicable to you. So we'll get into that in just a moment here. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, MCHS Church also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. It's a metaphysics school that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, and you can specialize in a variety of different areas, such as spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, paranormal science, parapsychology, ufology, and a bunch more. So if you'd like more information on that, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. Before we get into our topic for tonight, we want to do our profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and a spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief, as well as MCHS Church, please visit mchschurch.org. So, tonight we welcome all of those listening live. We welcome those who are listening to the archive after the fact as well. Hope you are enjoying this program from week to week. We invite you to comment in the chat room if you'd like, or if you'd like to call in with a comment, you can certainly do that. Dr. John Hightower is screening calls for us tonight as usual. So feel free to use that. Well, let's get into our topic.
You know, and if I could just, sorry, I think it's a great time to inject here that we're very grateful for people spreading the word about our program, because week to week we get increased listenership. So keep it going, everybody. We really do appreciate it. It's good to know that what we're doing and contributing is being heard by other people and valued in some way. So the fact that we're getting more listeners says we're doing something right.
Yeah.
Yay.
It would seem so.
I'm really grateful for that. So it's a good feeling.
It is, and we appreciate it, of course. All right, so let's talk about critical thinking. You know, let's start off with what it is, what it's not. We'll get into deductive reasoning, inductive reasoning, and a few related subjects there. This is an absolutely incredible topic. It's a great topic. It's one that everybody needs to hear and needs to learn more about. A lot of people fancy themselves as critical thinkers, and they may or may not be. I mean, back in the day, years ago, I always considered myself a critical thinker. However, I was wrong.
And you know, it might help to say, Doug and I were having a conversation the other day, and we realized just how significant the topic is, because it seems that's a common complaint between people is, how come you don't understand what I'm saying? Or how can I, you know, think what is thinking outside the box? And, you know, there's all these discussions that go on day to day amidst people, but it really is about critical thinking skills. And what really impressed upon me is that from the time young people are in school, and ourselves included, it's that multiple choice phenomenon that if you pick A, B, C, or D, then you get the right answer and you get a new bicycle at the end of the year. So it does not encourage people to self-think, think outside of just the four primary choices. So we lose some thinking skills along the way. So that's really what inspired tonight's show. And of course, Doug has extensive material in the course program on critical thinking. So, you know, we combined that together and just said, you know, we've really got to do a show on this because maybe it can help a few people to think outside the box. And what kinds of skills can you utilize to begin to do that? So this is how the show got inspired for tonight.
Some of the information I'm going to talk about tonight comes from the fifth course in the bachelor's program at metaphysicsinstitute.org. You know, and I could say that the entire degree program is really an example or is a study in critical thinking. It just all of it is. It's all it is critical thinking and getting people to think. In fact, that kind of became part of my motto, you know, is to help you to think for yourself, disturb you to thought, provoke you to action, or provoke you to thought. And that's what I want to do tonight. I want to provoke you to thought. I want you to get you thinking. If you get, anytime you say, well, that's just not right, well, that's a form of critical thinking. But when we say that, we better be able to back it up, too, because a lot of times we say, oh, that's wrong, and all we're basing it on is what we've been spoon-fed by society or whoever. So let's talk about and I'll get more into that, and that's where I'll get passionate. But let's talk about what critical thinking is. The dictionary defines critical thinking as the mental process of actively and skillfully conceptualizing, applying, analyzing, synthesizing, and evaluating information to reach an answer or conclusion. And there's a variety of different definitions on critical thinking. Let me give you some attributes of a critical thinker. There's quite a few here. I'll share a few with you. Somebody who asks pertinent questions, assesses statements and arguments, is able to admit a lack of understanding or information, has a sense of curiosity, is interested in finding new solutions, is able to clearly define a set of criteria for analyzing ideas, is willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts, listens carefully to others and is able to give feedback, sees that critical thinking is a lifelong process of self-assessment, suspends judgment until all facts have been gathered and considered, looks for evidence to support assumptions and beliefs, is able to adjust opinions when new facts are found, looks for proof, examines problems closely, is able to reject information that is incorrect or irrelevant. Those are some of the different descriptors of critical thinking. Basically, it's thinking for yourself, you know, delving a little bit deeper than accepting things at face value, which brings us to what critical thinking is not. It's not passive thinking. It means thoughtfully weighing all aspects of a matter before deciding. Unfortunately, far too many people engage in this passive type thinking. They accept what others say at face value, especially if those others are authority figures. And this, of course, often causes problems, and one of the big problems we have in the world, you know, and I'm just going to put it out there, you know, so many of us grow up just accepting on faith, at face value, what we're told. You know, it's like that old age-old thing, well, that's the way I was raised. Well, and I'm sorry, but that's not a good excuse. It's not even a good reason.
That one drives me crazy, that one. Well, I can't help it. That's just the way I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can help it because you can decide something else for yourself.
It's
something that it does. It puts me, as Doug Kelly says, it sends me where you can't get a postcard.
Yeah. And it's just a cop-out. You know, we've all probably said it at some point in our life, but you know, if you hear yourself saying that, that's just not, don't even go there, because anybody who is a critical thinker will think, well, they'll know. Let's put it that way. They'll know that you're not. So, you know, we're all adults here. We all have the free will to choose who we will be, choose what our core values will be, and to change our thinking on things. And this is where we kind of get into belief, because critical thinking is undermined by the strong emotional type beliefs that really don't have a whole lot of basis in fact. This is a common thing with religion. You know, how many of us were just told stuff? You know, this is the way it is. You know, the Adam and Eve, the Job, the Jesus, the, you know, the Moses, the this, the that, the other thing. You know, it's like we're all just, you know, given it, told this stuff, and we begin to believe it. And belief, as I've said so many times, is arguably the most potent force in the universe. Belief is responsible for all the wars that have ever been. It's responsible for all of your successes and all of your failures. It's responsible for where you're at. Our self-belief, our belief about the world, it's responsible for where we are at right here, right now. It's that potent. The problems in the world, I mean, you look at the news, it's like, at some point, I just keep saying, oh, my God, what's the deal here? And I use that as an expression. You know, you look at the news from the Middle East, you know, the Muslims and the Buddhists are now going at it and where Burma. And I'm thinking, I thought Buddhists were peaceful. And, you know, here they are going at it. And it all boils down to, you know, my God is bigger than your God or better than your God. It's the same with the Christians and the Muslims. It's the same with all of these different religions. They're fighting over beliefs. They, you know, and they're, unfortunately, many of their beliefs, Muslims and Christians, honestly, the belief, the base for their beliefs is that you need to either be a Christian or a Muslim, respectively, or you should die. I mean, that's the whole Hebrew or scriptures, the Old Testament. You know, they go around killing people who don't believe like them. Well, it's the same with Islam too. So we've got to come together. We've got to get past this whole belief issue.
Well, it's even the issues of people who are, you know, claiming to be Christian, but somebody's an evangelist versus the Baptist versus the Mormon versus, you know, and everybody has their take on it. You know, even the onset of the New Age movement, quote unquote, it's still operating on the premise that Christ existed, you know, so it's like follow the Christ light. Well, follow your own light. You know, it's because when we have these core belief systems, they're so ingrained that we don't look at them to wonder if it's true in the first place, because it's so deeply seated into our very existence. You wouldn't actually question whether or not, you know, Christ existed. Well, of course he existed. Well, who says he existed? And how is that relevant to your life today? You see, and that's a very offensive question to somebody who is aspiring to be of the Christ light. Well, be of your own light. Well, now you've offended their belief system because they weren't critically thinking. Because to me, if you take it, critical thinking is being able to take it that step beyond what you're familiar and comfortable with. Because there might be something relevant there that is just something like, the Bible says, well, who cares? Do you know, that's my point. And then that's offensive to somebody. Mm-hmm. Well, then you got to get into a discussion about the Bible. Well, who wrote it? You know, when then you say, well, it's just a whole bunch of diaries that somebody stuck together for political reasons. And that's offensive. You see, because when you go into a critically thinking mode that questions everything, there is this risk that people feel lost because they need to still believe in something. To believe in yourself, to believe in humanity, to believe that we're all a part of a universe, just feels so vague, I think. And that's where, you know, people don't want to risk that leaping into Neverland kind of have faith in yourself. You know, have faith in each other. Start believing in your own ability to think for yourself. You know, to be honest, whatever people believe, I don't care what they believe. I just don't know how any of that is relevant to getting through a day, except that, you know, you're empowered. If people would critically think to see what they do in a day, what skills it takes to get through a day, they'd be pretty darn proud of themselves.
You know? Well, yeah, and one of the points you just made that is now trying to flee from me.
Sorry.
Nothing. I wanted to comment on it. It's just that we're taught to accept this stuff and to not go there. That's kind of the deal. So
yeah,
good. Finish your-
it's still staying with, you know, staying within a frame of reference that's familiar, because you said it earlier, Doug, about we're emotionally attached to whatever we're taught to believe, and that's a trust factor from a very young age. You know, right from infancy. We love and trust, and we love and trust the people who care about us. And we believe that the people who care about us wouldn't lie to us. But we're not critically thinking to just for a moment think that those people were just doing the best they had with what they had, just wanting to give whatever was good to their kids, whether they believed in it or not. You know, I had a father who did not, he was not a religious man at all, but he was afraid that he might be doing the wrong thing by not sending his kids to church. You see? Like, well, what if there is a God?
Right.
Like, what if there is a guy up there? Yeah. So, I mean, it's,
and
you know, they're doing the best they can.
And a lot of people think that. What if there is? What if this is all true? What if there is a Christian God or an Islam God or whatever? What if? Well, I'll tell you what if. I have serious, serious questions to pose to God. And this is what I've told many a Christian who's tried to bring me back to the fold. You know, I have serious questions. You know, God is honestly guilty of crimes against humanity and needs to to be questioned on some of this stuff. He allows things that a parent would not allow. So that's why it all kind of collapses. And I don't believe in God, so I'm not trying to offend anybody, but the whole God concept is flawed. It doesn't hold up. It collapses. And a lot of people are thinking, oh, my God, what are you saying? You know, this is blasphemous. And it's a good thing that I'm, you know, in a Christian country, because they won't kill me for it. It's free speech. But the fact is that I'm trying to get people to think. It's like when I was coming out of Christianity and I had those what if thoughts. Well, you know, what about Jesus? I mean, because I still believed in him. And then I got looking, and I'll be darned if there's no secular evidence that he ever existed. I'm thinking, what? How come I was never told this? You know, I was never taught any of that stuff. It's all in the Bible. And so this whole Jesus thing is a composite. Did he stand for some positive things? Absolutely. There's there's always those positive things, right? But, you know, and a lot of people will argue this, but, you know, he still did not have his own identity. You know, he was God's son. You know, if you know me, you know the Father. It's like we have an identity crisis going on here. And I like what you said, Vicki, earlier about, you know, instead of the Christ mind, have your own mind. You know, the Christ light, have your own light. And that's part of what critical thinking includes, is thinking through this stuff. Let's talk about a couple of other things about what critical thinking is not. One of them is dogmatism. Dogmatic thinking generally means that one holds to specific beliefs without proof. He might even have proof, but still dogmatic. You got to be open-minded. The dogmatic person does not suspend deep-seated beliefs as does the critical thinker. These beliefs can filter their conclusions. They can include strong emotions, which is kind of, you know, implicit in dogmatism, that these strong emotions are linked with this dogmatic thinking, and you can't think clearly when you're emotionally charged, you know, blinded by emotion. You've heard that before, and that's what people can get when they're dogmatic in their thinking. Another thing that critical thinking is not is having subjective pet theories on particular topics. And by this, I mean theories and beliefs that lack objective and realistic evidence. You know, that can also include this blind emotion. And this is honestly something that's a big thing. There's so many theories and speculations out there, especially in the metaphysical world. You earlier referred to New Age, and there's just, you know, the fringe New Age. There's a lot of different things that people believe that they will take on faith alone just because they're popular. And this is where I really am going to get a bit on a soapbox here, is that if you are involved in some kind of metaphysical research, whether it's paranormal research, or if you're involved in any kind of counseling and coaching in a metaphysical way, Reiki or some of these others, you got to be careful of what you're putting out there. Make sure that what you believe, you can reasonably back up. I grant you that most of the stuff in the metaphysical world is unfalsifiable, meaning you can't prove it right or wrong. I know that. I get that. But there are some different things, some different concepts that are reasonable and that you can kind of back up to a reasonable degree. They're defensible. There might be some a priori evidence to support them. There might be some experiences and widespread to support certain clauses. We'll get into inductive reasoning here in a few minutes. But one of the things that I just keep pounding on, and I have pounded on for years, is if you are, especially in paranormal research, make sure that you pay attention to what you're talking about. In other words, don't put out theories that you can't back up. There are so many things that are out there that just send me. And I've said this, people who've listened to the show a lot will think, oh, here he goes again. You know, it's like do the prayer, do the bubble of energy of light so that they don't follow you home, meaning ghosts. And I'm thinking, what are you afraid of? You're a researcher. Don't you want them to follow you home? Don't you want to have contact with them? You know, some people say, you know, that they would be really worried if these ghosts followed them home. And I say, I'd be worried if they don't follow me home. I want them to. I want to research in the comfort of my own home and my own office and all that. And so you got to think through this stuff. And then there's the whole thing about draining energy. Well, that may not be too far-fetched. I mean, people can drain other people. I mean, we've all experienced that, right? Somebody can be very draining. Oh, yeah. Well, I know entities can probably do the same thing. But one thing that I've said and will say 1,000 times, anybody who's self-possessed cannot become possessed by anyone or anything else. And that just brings us into possessions. You know, are they real? Well, some people say, oh, yeah, they're real. They're real. The devil can get in you and demons can get in. Well, are demons real? Is the devil real? No. No to all of the above. It's superstition. So be careful that what you believe is not based on superstition. There's talk about the elementals and this and that, and oh my Lord, I mean, we might as well get into werewolves, vampires, and Frankenstein too.
Why not?
You know,
I believe in them.
Right. Right you are.
Look, you know, I think here is something in the critical thinking process that is important to acknowledge. We may not, I certainly do not believe in a God as people define that God. So in that, people would have asked me, how can you not believe in God, but you believe in the spirit world? Well, because I don't know. Here's a whole bunch of things. This is when the critical thinking kicks in. Because I can't imagine somebody up there calling shots like this, because that's just dumb. It's actually mean, and it violates all the universal laws and principles. So if somebody's up in charge up there, I'm going to take issue. So just like you've said, Doug, I don't have to answer to God when I leave here. God's going to answer to me. So, but right. There are many dimensions. There's many dimensions of space and time. And even in quantum physics, and the study of quantum physics is now beginning to explore this. I believe, because I have experienced it, and my brain only knows a few different ways of processing this, is that there's many dimensions of entities, energies, beings, just because we don't have an exclusivity to being sentient. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. There's other life on other planets. Why wouldn't there be? So it's to process through just asking yourself all these relevant questions. I have experienced other entities of many different forms and different layers and levels and dimensions and so on. But to believe that there is one superpower, you know, is there a creator? You know, I can imagine that there is, absolutely, but it could, that creator could also be, you know, the leader of an alien race.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, let's be sensible about this. If there are many different alien races, then who's to say one of, you know, all of the above didn't plant a seed on Earth and mm-hmm. we're all just a mirrored image of that. Mm-hmm. And if you want to take the Bible literally, okay, you know, God created man in his own image, and okay, well, then maybe we're an image of an alien race. Why not?
So
you can take, it's more plausible mm-hmm. to me than somebody up there in a chair calling shots. So do I believe in a God? Well, it depends how you define God. I don't like the word God, but so in my mind, to kind of appease my own thinking, I think of God as that's his name, you know, like for that alien race. Mm-hmm, then right. I can find it plausible. But right. is there a super energy? I believe there's a super energy. You know, certainly there's energies. We are all part of that energy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's difficult in the critical thinking process for people to emotionally imagine that they are completely self-responsible.
Alone.
This is the, it's that isolation. Mm-hmm. It's the, because everyone wants to feel validated, and that validation takes precedent over any other kinds of thinking. You know, emotions will rule. And this is where that has to, we have to build into that emotional maturity to be able to critically think, to know what we're looking at. So I think that these are really just the relevant points to ask yourself when you are critically thinking something like a philosophy, and just come up with something that works for you. But even then, Doug, as I have grown and I have changed, I continue to evolve, let my philosophies and my beliefs evolve. And the beauty of that is it doesn't change who I am. If anything, it helps me to discover more of who I am. Mm-hmm. Most people that I speak with worry about the risk of losing that identity they have with themselves, who they believe themselves to be, when they change their philosophies, which it's completely the reverse. So there's that in the critical thinking, imagine that if you're allowing your mind to grow, take in more information and expand in its thinking, how deeply, when you're living from the inside out, how much greater you find out that you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's, and again, that's all part of somebody's self-identification critical thinking process. Who am I?
Good points. And so we're talking about what critical thinking is not, and of course, at the same time, what it is. Here's something that John Hightower mentioned in the chat room about the concept of ghosts can harm you. And, well, he said they can't harm you, which is correct. And that's a popular belief among so many, especially in the ghost hunter community, not among serious, incredible researchers, but especially in the amateur type community, that ghosts can harm you. You don't want them to follow you home because they can harm you. Honestly, that's baloney. It's BS. It's a superstitious, folklorish inaccuracy. They cannot harm you. I tell people, be far more worried about people because they can kill you. Ghosts cannot harm you. You know, you gotta think through this stuff. You know, they can drain you. Well, a person can drain you. Well, they can scratch you. My cat can scratch me. But, you know, a ghost can't pick up a 45 Magnum and shoot me. You know, so you got to think about what your beliefs are. You've got to think critically and ask why. Just like, you know, the old expression, question everything. And I mean question everything. Question what I'm saying. I tell my students all the time, question everything. Don't question what I'm saying too. Don't just take it at face value. And the only thing, of course, with my students, I say, you know, if you disagree, that's fine. You don't have to agree with me. I don't need for you to agree with me. I don't care whether you agree with me. All I care about is whether you're thinking. I want you to think. And if you do disagree, then fair enough. Give me your evidence. But you better be careful because I've done thunk it through. And I can back up pretty much everything with reasonable arguments. So that doesn't mean I'm always right, you know. And don't let that get out because, you know, I've got the whole world fooled there. But I'm
and, you know,
open
here's the thing.
New things.
What I also know about Doug is that we can disagree and we can agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfectly acceptable because we each have our own experiences. You know, when Doug has said before that he doesn't have those other psychic experiences, which I think he does, but he doesn't see it as that, so that's okay. Does he see ghosts walking by? No, but he still will. Hey, you have. That's
mm-hmm.
right. You still listen to people and you believe in people
right.
when they believe what they're saying and they can back that up.
Right.
I don't need to have your experience to believe in you. And I guess what I want to make clear, to your defense, Doug, not that you need it, but a clarification is that when Doug just asks that people explain themselves and have something to back up what they're saying, even though it's an experience different from what he has had, he's in no way judging people's experiences,
right.
not one bit. But if we're going to talk critical thinking, Doug knows about critical thinking. So if you're going to say, well, I did critically think, he's going to point out where you didn't.
That's absolutely
so,
true. It's like, you know, I try to talk about this all through the courses, too, and I still will have some who won't get the point. You know, it's like reincarnation. Does it exist? I can't tell you one way or another. And that is a true, I have no opinion on it. I can't prove it one way or another. I suspect it might be true, but I cannot prove it. I cannot offer a compelling argument because I have no memories, no subjective experiences that way. God, does God exist? I don't know. That's why I'm not an atheist. I'm an agnostic because I can't prove it one way or another. There's so many things that could fit in here. I'm running out of examples, but the point I'm trying to make is don't just accept it. Question everything. Think for yourself. Don't forget that all this stuff that you believe, all this stuff we've been taught and sometimes force-fed on, is nothing more or less than a thought that originated at some point in time in somebody's mind and grew from there. So just because, you know, and that goes for all these religions too, whether it's Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, I don't care, name it. They all started as a thought in somebody's mind, and they grew from there and over the eons, you know, the hundreds of thousands of years. And that's all they are. They're somebody's concept of reality. It doesn't mean that it's correct just because they've been around. In one of the courses, you know, I've got a question, you know, talk about this on, you know, the ancients, just they knew more about the universe and astronomy and all that than we do. They have some kind of this esoteric knowledge that's special, it's magical. And the answer is no, they did not. We know far more about what's going on out there than they, excuse me, ever did. I'm going to cough here. And
you know, my daughter told me not too long ago, Doug, that she was reading, and I need to get the information to back this up. But she was reading that physicians 800, 1,000 years ago would actually consult with the stars before they would prescribe any medicines, and that in many cultures it was common practice. So, I mean, that in and of itself is, okay, why don't we think about that today? Why don't we read about that today? We are given information that is skewed to serve the present reality. You see, that is my point. So when you talk about do the ancients know everything, they didn't, but the practices were different. So we can't just take a sliver of that information. We have to also know that, geez, that was relevant to that culture. That was relevant to that time.
The Mayan calendar.
And, yeah, they're perfect.
You know, do they have some kind of special knowledge that we don't have? No, they did not. That whole 2012 thing is BS. It's nonsense to a critical thinker. There is no evidence to suggest that anything will happen other than my anniversary on December 21st.
But this is the point. If we can understand this one thing, everything we have been taught by education, your parents, you know, the politics of the day is to serve the existing reality. Everybody wants you to think their way so we can live in a collective reality. If you have thoughts and feelings that are outside of that, then it's very often that you're made to feel poorly, made to feel bad, in fact, made to feel stupid, you're ridiculed, you're thought to be different. In my day as a reader, ridiculed, persecuted, because I'm outside of the common reality. So just know that part of the critical thinking about who you are, just be who you are and find the courage to think your way through comparatives of what you've been taught versus the way you want to be. And this is not to persecute the people who've been doing the teaching. It's not meant to do that. It's to evolve, to just become greater and more. So when you were filling out the career, you know, profile in grade 11 or 12, and it said that you could be one of these 20 different careers, it's because the society was lacking people to work in those careers. But you might have something completely different that you want to do. And if there's something else that you want to do, find a way to do it. You know, aspire to your dream. And people say, well, I don't know what I want to do. It's because you're still thinking in those 20 things. You're thinking by the box that was given to you. So to think outside the box simply means think outside the present reality that you have been given. That is thinking outside the box, and that's part of the critical thinking. It's like, you know, a mother some years ago was just so distraught that, you know, her 20-year-old son was just in the basement writing like a fiend. He wouldn't leave the basement and wouldn't stop writing. And I said, you know, here's the thing. How many years ago he would have been just considered an eccentric? You know, he's in the basement writing. So I had a talk with him, and I said, you know, you can't keep expecting other people to feed you while you're kind of insane in the basement writing. So how about you try to maybe just like go serve coffee for a few bucks an hour and, you know, and try to finish your book while you get out and maybe get some ideas for the book. So it was about helping him to critically think through an obsession. And it's not to make him stop writing, which is precisely what everybody was trying to do. And I said, how can you take writing away from him? But that's what he wants to do. He just needs to, see, he thought it was all or nothing. Mm. You know, it's like people, I hear this, they have to go either have a family and raise children or go be a singer. Well, why can't you do all?
Mm-hmm.
You see, think outside the box. Think outside that those formulas that you've been given and find your own way to still be self-responsible, self-accepting primarily, that's what we're trying to say, but be self-responsible. How can I work this out? Think solutions for yourself, you know, and then have respect. Like this young man in the basement wasn't having respect for anybody. The more people told him he should get out in the world, the more obsessive he became, the more reclusive he became. And what happens is people turn in on themselves, and this is where you start to hurt yourself when you're not thinking your way through your own process to aspire to who you are. So right. That's, you know, and this
good
is
example.
The whole premise of, this is the premise of IMHS and MCHS anyway, is to self-think, be more of who you are and what you're designed to be.
Well put. So we kind of talked, said a few words of importance to the true believers that might be out there. Let's talk about another group of people who fancy themselves as critical thinkers, but they are not. And that is these hardcore skeptics and debunkers that are out there, especially those that debunk anything that is mysterious, paranormal, ufological, or anything like that. And they fancy themselves as critical thinkers, but they're nothing of the sort. They'll often appear on television documentaries and every other places offering seemingly scientifically based explanations of why people don't see ghosts or don't see anomalies in the skies or this or that. The problem with these so-called experts is they ignore the mountains of evidence from credible sources that must be examined. You know, one of the things that critical thinkers ask themselves is, what are the facts and what do those facts tell us? And they keep asking that question again and again and again. What are the facts and what do those facts tell us? And you keep asking and asking until you get your answers. So remember that belief and disbelief are two sides of the same coin. You cannot disbelieve in something without also believing in something. So what the beauty about critical thinkers is that they open-mindedly look at the issue, look at both sides, and formulate their own thinking on some things. Here's some other traits of non-critical thinkers. They see things in black and white as either or, rather than recognizing a variety of possible understandings. They see questions as yes or no with no subtleties. They fail to see linkages and complexities. They fail to recognize related elements. They take their facts as the only relevant ones. They take their own perspective as the only sensible one. They take their goal as the only valid one. There's some different arguments. They're called logical fallacies or false arguments. In fact, Vicki was just talking about one, the whole black or white thing. For example, notice some of these different expressions. Either we allow abortion or we force children to be raised by parents who don't want them. And these are actually real ads. America, love it or leave it. If guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. You know, if we respect publications of certain magazines like the Star and the National Enquirer, then the First Amendment will be weakened and the whole country will be controlled by the government. It's like either or. And these are logical fallacies. They're lies because they only offer you two alternatives when there are many more available. That's just an example of
a logical. That's just selling the reality.
Here's another one. God exists. How do you know? Because the Bible says so. Why should I believe the Bible? Because the Bible was written by God. You know, that's circular reasoning. Circular reasoning there, you know. There's a bunch of other examples I could say. Let me give you some more logical fallacies, just some kind of categories. Jumping to conclusions, hasty conclusions, personal attacks, appeal to the people. Everybody's doing it. You got to do it. Appeal to tradition. Oh, that's the way we've always done it. We can't change. Appeal to an improper authority or a biased authority. Of course, that could be anybody in importance. There's also a red herring or irrelevant conclusion. You should be out looking for real criminals instead of giving me a ticket for speeding. There's smoke screens, unfalsifiability, and several others.
You know, there's people also who say, I'm going to break with tradition, and we're going to do it my way. And if everybody doesn't like that, then they don't have to come.
Right.
That's, you know, it's just control freaks. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's somebody wanting to change it up, but they have an extreme thing. Well, if you really want to change it up, why don't you just throw some ideas from everybody on the table and everybody come with their own ideas and mix it up. You see, it's being this all or nothing. Got to watch that we don't want control. It's a huge part of it, you know. And you know, when you're talking before, Doug, about of the skeptics, what if we just miss that one time when it's real? What if we miss the one time when it's not real? Hmm. What if, you know, it's what if we miss something? So it's always keeping the mind open, the emotions open for the other possibilities. So it's really about control, I think. You know, and if we don't need to control anything, we have a more open mind and we can learn just to critically think. And critically doesn't mean hard critical.
Negative.
It means, it's exactly, it's not a negative. It's to analyze, to observe, to assess, to be able to take in more information and really find ways to think for yourself. You know, it's one thing when we see the world, but it's quite another thing when we see ourselves. You know, it's like these skeptics. I'll bet you every skeptic has had some paranormal experience,
mm-hmm.
but they've chalked it up to a figment of their imagination, or it must be the hangover because they drank too much last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're discarding probably some pretty extraordinary experience, but that's their own fear then.
Mm-hmm.
See, so it, because everybody has, I truly believe this, everybody has extraordinary experiences. How can we not? You know, how can we not have unusual, extraordinary things happen to us, even if it's, oh, look at the synchronicity of these events. You know, where, geez, I was just thinking about you and here you phoned, but I'm a skeptic, you know.
Right.
So it's from the inside out, again, and I keep going back to that because it's not just about what we see out there. It's what we see in here and being open to other possibilities, things that we haven't thought of before, because we are more than we ever knew possible. You know that as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right, so we've only got about 10 or 11 minutes left here. Let's talk about the differences between deductive reasoning and inductive reasoning. Now, if you've ever studied these two things or looked into it, you might have come away frustrated, confused, because honestly, they're the way that they are put, they're kind of tough to understand. Mm-hmm. And I spent a long, long, long time researching these concepts so that I could try to express them in simple terms so that everybody can understand it. It was amazing how complex these two things can be. And I don't think they're really complex. I just think that the way that they're described and defined by, you know, them out there make it much more difficult. Yeah, them.
The ones who get all the money.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about deductive reasoning. And what I've done is kind of narrow these down to a couple of different basic definitions. Now, the first one's deductive reasoning. Basically, deductive reasoning is that if the premises are true, the conclusion must also be true. Okay, I'll repeat that. If the premises are true, the conclusion must also be true. All right, so let's give you an example. Here are two premises and a conclusion. The first premise is all men have minds. That's a true premise. Number two, Da Vinci was a man. True premise. The conclusion, Da Vinci had a mind. So do you see how, you know, A plus B equals C, essentially? If the premises are true, the conclusion must also be true. It's guaranteed to be
true.
So
you're talking things can connect. In other words, as long as the things can connect and have some kind of relationship?
Well, yes. If it's a deductive argument, deductive reasoning, which is great for problem solving, right? if I do this and I do this, I will get this. You know, it's like, you know, action, cause and effect. If you take this action, you will get this effect. If you, and that's the premise and the conclusion, if you make this decision, this is what will happen. So in problem solving, we often have many choices. Well, what if I do this and this and this? What will it lead to? Well, that's kind of a deductive argument. If basically premise one is two plus premise two, which is two, two plus two equals what? Four. So the conclusion is guaranteed to be true. That's a deductive argument. Now,
what is the reductive argument, though? Is it the reverse of that deductive?
I'm sure it is. You'll have to invent that one.
Well, if we think that Da Vinci is a man with a mind, then we can reduce it to a man with a mind who could have been Da Vinci. Does that make sense? So when we reduce, if we have a conclusion and we want to find out if it's truthful, because this is the way my mind works, Doug. If I have a concept, I want to break it up and reduce it to its parts. Mm-hmm. And if all those parts can exist on their own, then I can go back to my main thought again and say, then it all is synchronistic, it all synergizes. Therefore, it's pretty sure that I'm onto something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's actually an aspect of critical thinking. When anytime you're looking at something, it goes back to what are the facts and what do those facts tell us. Often reducing it down is a great way focus in on and isolate different aspects of what we're working on. So let's compare now inductive thinking with deductive. Remember, deductive, if the premises are true, the conclusion is guaranteed to be true. Inductive reasoning or arguments, if the premises are true, the conclusion is likely to also be true. Notice the difference? It's not guaranteed to be true. It could be true, but it's not guaranteed to be true. It's likely to be true. Here's an example. Socrates was a Greek, or was Greek rather. Most Greeks eat fish. Socrates ate fish. It's a likely conclusion. Can we prove it? Not necessarily, but it's a likely conclusion. So remember the two differences. Deductive reasoning, if the premises are true, the conclusion is logically guaranteed to be true also. Inductive reasoning, if the premises are true, the conclusion is likely to be true. Now, when we get into such things as metaphysics and paranormal and things like that, we're really a lot of times working with inductive reasoning. Because we look at what the evidence suggests. And the problem is sometimes the evidence in one case can contradict the evidence in another case. And so we have to infer, which is another aspect of critical thinking, infer conclusions. And just to draw a contrast between infer and imply, the sender implies, the listener infers. So I can imply something, which is an indirect statement in something I say. But if I'm listening to somebody, I might infer that they stated something. So that's the difference between those two. Infer.
But that would be a good reason for paraphrasing. So if you're explaining something to me, I'm hearing and processing it a particular way. Mm-hmm. You've inferred something. And if I repeat it back to you, you've inferred something. Okay, got it now.
The listener.
So then I repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I paraphrase back to you is an inference.
Yeah, are you implying that I'm being unclear here?
No, but and you see, this is good. This is how communications, I think, often have been lost because there's a defense mechanism between people. Mm-hmm. And when we understand that this is a natural part of critical thinking, I believe I heard you this way. Did I hear you correctly?
That's inferring. Yep. So that's exactly what we do all the time. So when it comes to critical thinking, we can infer, especially when it comes to inductive reasoning, we can infer some things, and science does this all the time. I mean, they do it all the time in astronomy and physics and quantum physics and quantum mechanics. There's a lot of inferences going on here because we can't. necessarily prove it objectively. You know, we are often left with a priori information, which is, it's not so much observational. It's, I got to get back on my drugs.
That well, I'm there's not implications.
Really well, there, it's there's... not objective. It's more anecdotal. That's what I'm looking for. So they do it all the time. And that's what I was talking about earlier in the program, is if you have beliefs about something, examine those beliefs. Think for yourself. Think critically. Can you back up what you believe? For example, the 9 principles of belief that I read at the outset. One of those includes that we believe in life after death, that our consciousness remains coherent after that. Well, you know, that's not something that took me a long time to be able to back that up. But now I can pretty much defend that one. That's why it's in the principles of belief, because I can defend it to a reasonable degree and nobody can squash it. Notice that there's nothing about reincarnation in the 9 principles of belief, because I can't back it up. A lot of people believe in it. And I even get students that, on occasion, kind of rare, but I get an occasional student who gets offended at my objective discussion. That's all it really is, because I don't necessarily disagree with reincarnation. I suspect it might be true, but I objectively discuss it, critically thinking about it. And a lot of people are not ready for that. They can't take it, and they get a bit offended. Well, my God, I know it's true. Well, you know what? Good for you. Maybe you have some subjective experiences. I don't. I'm looking at it very objectively. So there you have it.
Here's the thing about that is when somebody challenges the reincarnation notion, let's say, for you it's a notion that a lot of people talk about and it could or could not be true. Somebody's saying, well, I believe in it. And you say, okay, but can you defend it? There's a defense no different than it is about aspire to the Christ light,
exactly.
You know, and it's everybody taking an emotional position. What you say and what I say also is there could be other explanations for what we experience as a past life, because we're linear thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
So we can exist on many dimensions of time space. So it's not 1692, but it's actually happening now. We're all dressed up different.
So, yeah, we're all wearing different funky clothes. All right, so we talked about critical thinking tonight, and hopefully you've gotten some good points, and, you know, it wasn't really to bash anything. It was just to get you thinking. Just think. Think for yourself. Ask yourself, what are the facts, and what are those facts telling us? Make sure you can back up your beliefs, and just choose your beliefs. Choose your core values. Think for yourself. That's the whole thrust of this whole program. Next week, we're going to be talking about another topic, how to find yourself when you're lost. So if you're lost, make sure you find yourself. Make sure you find your way back here next Wednesday night. Thanks to John Hightower for his great call, producing behind the scenes. Appreciate everybody's time tonight listening to the live program or the archive. Please, as Vicki had mentioned in the outset, please tell others about this program if you like it. If you're interested in getting your degree in metaphysics, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. Or if you'd like to join us at mchfchurch.org, it's there. All right, Vicki, that's all I got for this week.
That's all I got. Have a good week, everybody. Good night, Doug.
Night, everybody. Take care.